Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you. That's right. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, listen.
Get her cheat sheet out here.
All right.
You don't think so? Yeah. We'll give her a go here.
This is like Mama's favorite.
Amen. Hallelujah. Good job. Praise the Lord.
Well,
bless you, brother. Yeah, same here, brother.
Can't talk when you get in the presence of God.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
God gets on you.
Amen.
Just want to thank the Lord today.
Amen, Brother Tommy.
Saving my soul.
Yeah.
Tell you what, I've been blessed.
Woo!
To be able to have the privilege.
Yeah.
The same young lady like
that. You said it right, brother. Privilege. Yeah.
It's a great privilege. You know, we've been singing the biggest part of our lives. And, you know, when your children grow up.
Yeah.
With a heart to sing or do something for God. Tell you what, it's a great blessing.
Double honor.
Tell you what, it makes you think at least you try to do something right in life.
Amen.
You know, we try to raise all our children up in the admonition and the love of God.
Amen.
But some of our children have kind of strayed away. And I understand it's just a process of life. The Bible says not to despise your youth. Somebody at work the other day, and we was kind of reminiscing about a few things we used to do back in our early years, and that come to my heart. You know, I told that fella, I said, you know, the Bible says not to despise your youth.
Let no man despise thy
youth. No, I know I done a lot of things in my youthful days that I'm not too proud of, but yet God loved me.
Yeah.
His grace was bestowed upon me in my
heart.
And I tell you what, you know, God can do some mighty things.
That's
I just
right.
thank the Lord today for the opportunity and privilege to be able to play with a young lady that's got a heart for God.
That's right, Brother Tommy.
You know, I'm just blessed.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Brother Eddie to come on up here. I know he's gnawing at the bit, but I know Brother Eddie, he's always got a word for the Lord. And we appreciate it.
Amen, Brother Tommy. Just so you know, I said just so you know, if it's still working, we're recording this service, going to put it on the internet, so people in all the four corners of the world can hear it. That may not mean nothing to you since you live in America and we're gospel saturated, but there's other people, they don't have the freedom or access that we have here in America. The things that we take for granted. I mean, there's a church on every corner here in America, and you know, we've got more preachers than I guess anybody could name, and much less give an opportunity to hear them preach or anything. But this message, I'm able to go on there and see who all listens to it. People in China, people in Russia, Germany, Japan. You name it. I mean, it's that long a list. People that listen and download these messages, they're going to be in for a treat on that singing. Somebody said, you believe in cloning. I do now. I mean, Cora is no doubt Debbie cloned. I mean, praise God. I seen her stand up there and sing like her mother, beautiful like her mother. And like Tommy said, that's just a blessing of God. And I couldn't keep the tears back. I was over there just silently weeping. But you know, God does bestow blessings. And for the most part, they can't be numbered for multitude. And we're kind of like those 10 that come to be cleansed. And the Lord told them to go show themselves to the priest. And as they run to go show themselves, they look down, they're all clean. And only one of them returned and fell down and gave God praise. And we're kind of like that. We need to be like that one. We're more like the nine that never returned. But we need to learn how to praise God and to learn how to put Him where He needs to be. I heard a message the other day and it caught me by surprise. I thought I knew a little bit about it. And this message kind of caught me by surprise. This man preached out of Isaiah chapter 6. And he said, in the year, I'm preaching out of Acts chapter 16, for those who've got a Bible, but he said in Isaiah chapter 6, he said, in the year that Uzziah the king died, He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting on his throne, and his train filled the temple. But what he brought in that message was, this man had been looking to this king instead of to God for all of his needs. And Uzziah was a great king, a good king.
Amen.
But when he died, all of a sudden he got his eyes off of man and he turned them again to God. And he saw something he needed to be seeing. He needed to be seeing God high and lifted up. And when he saw that, he saw himself as undone. And he said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amidst the unclean people. And anyway, he heard God say, who'll go for us? And Isaiah said, hey, here I am, send me. But, you know, he didn't see none of that till King Uzziah died. We'll be preaching out of Acts chapter 16, and I do appreciate the privilege to stand for the Word of God. Me and Brother Tommy, we worked together for, I'd say, a good over 20 years, 25 probably. And we shared a lot of the heavenly manna. I'd find a verse, I'd share it with him. He'd find one, he'd share it with me. And man, we was like one that rejoiced over great spoil. I mean, we just enjoyed the Word of God. I'd come in there, he'd be reading his Bible. He'd come in, I'd be reading mine. And man, we'd share some nuggets. We found some treasures in the Word of God. And boys, that's a blessing. We didn't realize just how blessed we was. But in Acts chapter 16, we'll start reading verse number 22, read down to verse 34. It says, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And he spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. We'll go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for the precious, inspired, infallible, incorruptible Word of God. That, Lord, you said heaven and earth would pass away, but this Word would never pass away. It's as eternal as God. Lord, you sent it for mankind to be able to know how to get in touch with God, to be able to know how to live before God. You said men ought always to live by the Word of God. And Lord, it just seems like today we need it more than ever. Bless your Word. Help me, I pray, Lord, to have, Lord, the anointing of God upon me to deliver the message you put in my heart. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now I want to recap a little bit of what I read here. Paul and Silas are at Philippi. You find that in verse number 12. They're doing the work of God, and you find that in verse number 13 through 15. And you know, they're just doing what saved people are supposed to do. They're out by the city there, by the river, and they're they're making the Word of God known, they're praying, and there's people gathering around them. And there was a certain woman named Lydia. She's a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God. She heard them whose heart the Lord had opened, and she attended to the things that were spoken of by Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought them, saying, "If you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained them. That's good. They're at Philippi, they're doing the work of God, but anytime you're doing the work of God, one of Satan will show up. And that's here in this message here, in this context of scriptures here. Verse 16 through 18, it said, "It came to pass as we went to prayer." You know, when you go to prayer, you'll find out Satan will resist you. He'll try to keep you from doing anything but praying. But Jesus said, "Men ought always to pray and not faint." Luke 18:1. But it said, "It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel," that's a young lady, "possessed with a spirit of divination," that's something of the devil, "met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." God said, "Not supposed to have none of that. Put it away, stone." And the same followed Paul and Silas, and they cried, saying, and she cried, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, which showing us the way of salvation." I meet people all the time, and they say there is no God, and the Bible does say we just had April Fool's Day. The Bible does say the fool has said in his heart there is no God. God put that in the Bible twice. Psalms 14:1, Psalms 53:1. He put that in there twice, hoping you wouldn't miss the message. A fool says there is no God. But even greater than that, the Bible said in James 2:19, that the devils believe in God and tremble. And here's evidence of that. Here's a woman with the spirit of the devil. And I'll tell you what, not only is she acknowledging that these men are of God, but I'll tell you right now, she said they show us the way of salvation. And she done that many days, and Paul was grieved about it. And finally one day he just turned and said to that spirit, "I command thee." You know, we got power over unclean spirits. We got power from God to do the work of God. It's not like we're at a loss. We've got the advantage over the adversary. Amen. I mean, buddy, he's got to ask permission even to touch us. Amen. Amen. You find that in the book of Job. And I tell you right now, God puts a hedge about his youngins. And a hedge meant weak one. I thank God for it. I sleep a whole lot better, Brother Tommy, knowing that I don't have to worry about that old devil or any terrorists or anything coming in and doing anything to me. Because God told Abraham in Genesis 7:15, verse number 1, Corey, he said, "Fear not, Abraham. I'm your shield. You're exceeding great reward." And I thank God for that. Amen. I'm glad I'm protected. Amen. I'm glad I'm behind the blood. I'm glad that a star can't come to me without getting permission. Amen. Paul commanded that spirit to come out of this girl. He said, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he, notice it, came out the same hour. That's good. You know, when Satan bunch showed up, God's men here doing the work of God, they done the work nobody but men of God could do, cast this devil out. But I'll tell you what, stirred that worldly bunch up, they got mad. You start doing the work of God, getting people saved, there'll be a worldly bunch show up, and they'll try to strain it and swallow a camel, try to get a mess up, something going against you. But here these men saw their hope of their gains was gone now, and they called Paul and Silas and drew them to the marketplace to the rulers, brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." They brought accusation against them. Now listen, that's normal. They caused these preachers to be beaten and be in prison, verses 22 and 24. You know, your Bible says all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. And that makes me wonder if we're really doing the work of God or not. It bothers me that I don't get in more trouble. It bothers me that I don't have people, crying out against me and trying to get me, to stop preaching or whatever. It bothers me a little bit. I have been there where it was at. I was on the streets of Columbus, Ohio one time, and I'm not that smart. They told us to stay together, and I wandered off. I'm down a hallway or an alley there, and I'm preaching part. Next thing I know, I tell you what, if you're standing for the right reason, for the right one, He'll send an angel to help you too, amen.
That's right.
But oh, listen, all that live godly in Christ Jesus and suffer persecution. Jesus said to this in John 16:33, He said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Peter said, don't think it strange concerning the fire of trial, which is to try you, though some strange, it's just normal, some strange thing happened. You said 1 Peter 4:12. And now I want to get to the message. All that right there was just groundwork. I'm looking forward to preaching this morning. In verse number 25, you got preachers doing the singing. Paul and Silas are singing.
Right.
I mean, they've been beaten. They've been mistreated. They've been falsely accused. They're in prison. Their feet are bound. They're in the innermost part of the prison. And it's midnight hour, Brother Tommy.
Right.
They got the right cord. And they started singing. And when they started singing, God done some preaching. It's good, amen, when God does the preaching, because something happened. God did the preaching. You know, about 20 years ago in this very nursing home, I sat about where this young lady sitting right here, somewhere about right along in there. Brother Tom and Sister Debbie, they're about right along in here somewhere. And you know, they're up there singing, and I'm over there really relaxed. I mean, I'm not under the gun. It's not like I've got any Billy Grahams here in front of me or any Mace Jackson or nothing. I'm pretty relaxed, and Tommy and Debbie's up there doing what they do. They're up there singing God's songs and blessing people. And God spoke to me, and He said, I don't want you to preach what you want to preach. I want you to preach this.
All right.
And I'm turning as fast as I can to this. And when I turned to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, to the very verse, Tommy said, well, we'll get Brother Andy here to preach. I just turned to the verse. I had no idea what God was doing. And I'll tell you what He was doing. He was doing the preaching that day.
Amen.
I ain't much, but I'll tell you one thing. Nobody's better than sacrifice. And I got up there and I read that verse, bowed my head. I said, Lord, being obedient to You, I pray You bless my efforts and help me to do that which You bid me to do. And I preached that day on casting all your care upon Him, or He cares for you. I'll tell you right now, buddy, I never say no brother any cares. I can't care like Jesus does, amen. You might call me. We had a prayer meeting last night over at church last night. One of the things that was mentioned, man, Eddie wrote it. He was supposed to have surgery Friday, but the doctor was sicker than he was. And that's the way it is sometimes. You might call me, and I might be sicker than you are. I might have more troubles than you got. But I'll tell you right now, brother, you can call upon Jesus any hour of the day about anything that's bothering you, about any need you got. And I'll tell you right now, brother, God, He cares, amen. Anyway, I preached that message that day. We walked outside, and I said to everything, and Lord, why did You do what You did? Why did You do what You did? Unknown to me, there was a man down the hall down here. He heard that message. His wife had left him. He was a businessman from Greensburg, Kentucky. I still remember him coming outside, fell on me, wept on me. I held him up, and when he finally got where he could stand and talk, he said, preacher, you don't know me, but I need that message. I really got some help from that message. He said, my wife left me, took my family, took my home. God does some preaching, boy. People will get some help. And I'll tell you right now, buddy, God has been, He's been doing a lot of preaching. Ain't been a lot of people listening, but He's been doing a lot of preaching. And in Acts 7:19, God came down on Mount Sinai. He done a little preaching. And the people trembled. Just like this jailer trembled. Sinners will tremble. God does some preaching.
Amen.
It'll trouble them a little bit. Now listen, you're going to tickle some ears. It ain't going to bother nobody. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. He said, be instant in season, out of season. He said, reprove, rebuke, exhort. With all long suffering and doctrine, by the time will come, they'll not endure sound doctrine. They'll have their own lust, but heap themselves teachers, having each and theirs, and be turned from the truth to fables. I tell them, well, we need some preaching, amen. That's really good. When God shows up, they God does the preaching, amen.
Amen.
He doesn't preach it on Mount Sinai. The Bible said it was on fire and smoke and thunders. And I tell you what, those people got scared. And they said in Exodus chapter 20, verse 18, 19, they said, Moses, you're going to talk to God, and whatever he says, we'll do, but we don't want to hear from God no more. Well, I'll tell you what, the Bible said God is a consuming fire.
Right.
Says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God.
Amen.
We had no preaching going on today, Brother Tommy. There wouldn't be some of this mess going on up in the White House. There wouldn't be some of this mess going on in the church house, the school houses. I'll tell you right now what is all this going on. No fear of God for their eyes.
Right.
Let me tell you something, but I fear God. I met him one day. I found him a whole lot bigger than I thought it was. Saul, a great persecutor of children of God and the churches of God, running to Jesus one day. But he's a little bit bigger than he thought he was going to be. I'll tell you what, he fell down. He said, Lord, who art thou? Jesus said, I'm Jesus. Why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? I'll tell you right now what Jesus said about Saul, which became Paul. He said, he's a chosen vessel unto me. You listen to this. I'll show him how great things he'll suffer for my name's sake, buddy. You better be careful when it comes to God. Only a fool makes fun of God. I've heard a lot of stories about men used to sit out in front of churches and throw whiskey bottles at the churches and you know, curse and big old men. If there's such big old men, why can't I get them into church? Why is it they're so big outside but I can't get them to come in? I challenge men and manhood all the time. I say, you're so big and tough. I said, I tell you what, I'll just challenge you. Let's just see how big and tough you are. Join me on the front row of Bethel Baptist Church tomorrow. We'll just see how big and tough you are. And yell, streak one of their back, and they take off, buddy. I mean, like a scalding dog. And they don't want me to do with that. Yeah. These men throwing these whiskey bottles up against that church and cursing and making fun of the preaching of the Word of God. A lamb fell and killed one of them, other two in the church. Whoa. Yeah, it don't take God too long to do preaching. Yeah, they saw that boy area's his head all busted. They said, you know, we might not all do this. And they go rest and whistle bottom down. And they went in down and squirted this stuff. Amen. Oh, listen, God does some preaching. And in John chapter 16, Jesus said, Father, glorify thy name. And the Bible said, thunder now. This is my beloved son. Some said it thunder, and others said it was the voice of an angel. Now we do a lot of preaching. We just need the ears to hear. The Bible said he that have ears to hear, let him hear it. We just need to use no God gave us two ears, one mouth. And we use them out, but we use air. It's all I ever say. Amen. Ain't that right, sister? Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, I like verses like Psalm chapter 34, verse number 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Right.
Boy, I tell you what, April 27, 1988, I done it. I tasted it. And amen, I didn't get a sample. I got the buffet line. I've been shipping with Jesus ever since. Amen. I found the best thing there is in life divine. I found him more than able to forgive a sinner broke anyway from his sin and save his soul. You know, my baptism down at Brotherhood Federal Baptist Church, a guy I worked with, Mark Brunch, was there. He came up here, King Eddie. And he said, I refuse to believe God can save someone like you. I couldn't even argue with him. I mean, I'm guilty, as guilty can be. I couldn't even argue with him. I gave him a testimony, so I believe it now. Amen. I'll tell you right now, buddy, Jesus said, who'll love me the most? He's been forgiven a little, or he's been forgiven a much. Sometimes them old rough sinners, they make some of the best Christians ever. At least they know they've been forgiven. At least they know they've been saved. But listen, the blessed thing here is God done the preaching, amen. And sinners trembled, and sinners got saved, amen.
Amen.
Man, we're missing on that sinner tripping. I have people all the time now, I watch them, and they set it off with the counsel of God. It's like they're just disconnected. It's like, you know, somebody needs to plug them in. And I'll tell you what, when God does the preaching, buddy, they won't be disconnected. You know old Paul and Silas? They same as gave an invitation there, verse 27 and 28. They told that keeper of that prison, they said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. You know, he come running in there. He came trembling. He fell down. Two things he done right. He asked the right question. you ask the right ones for the answer.
Right.
He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they told him the right answer. And they told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any others, no other name given under heaven, whereby we must be saved. First of all, you must be saved. There's only one name to be saved. It's not Muhammad. It's not Joseph Smith. It's not a Harry Kushner or anything like that. I'm telling you, it's the name Jesus. And that name Jesus, every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess. That name Jesus, God exalted above every name. Given Him, I'm telling you, a place where we can find a refuge like Brother Tommy sung that. Sheltered from the storm.
Amen.
There's a storm coming. Oh yeah. But I'm glad I've got shelter from it. You just write about that song you sung, Lord. In June, verse 29, the Bible said He's going to present us faultless in His presence with exceeding joy. He took my fault, put it under the blood, now I'm faultless. Ephesians chapter 5 says He's going to present His church without blemish, without spot, in His presence with exceeding joy. I'm faultless now, thanks to Calvary. I'm saved now, thanks to the blood of Jesus. I'm somebody going somewhere, and I got somewhere to go, and I can't wait to get there. He paid the price. I got the prize, Brother Tommy. I didn't even know how to pray. Man, all I know is I was lost. I'm like this junior. Man, I needed some help. You know, we don't realize this, but lost people need help. Acts chapter number 8, you got an Ethiopian eunuch. He's reading Isaiah 53. And the Holy Spirit told Philip to go down and join himself to that chair. And Philip come down, heard him read now Isaiah 53, and said, understand what thou readest. And he gave me to you and said, how can I except some man should doubt me? And he began the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus.
Amen.
And he got saved. Boy, we got to get back to preaching. Amen. I believe God chose the foolish of preaching. The Bible says to save them that believe. Don't ask me. I don't really understand why God chose something like preaching. But He put His blessing on preaching. And He said He chose the foolish of preaching to save them that believe. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. Oh, listen. God did the preaching. This David got saved in all his house. I'll tell you right now, buddy, people need to get saved. They need to get saved. Time's running out. The same God that said He gave Jezebel space to repent. I don't know if it's this much space. I don't know if it's that much space. If it's that much space, I just know this. He said she repented not. There's some people. God's given them space to repent. I mentioned about Larry River. Space to repent. He better hope you don't run out of space.
Right.
Because he runs out of space.
Right.
Now listen, God loves everybody. He loves them all the same. He's not no respecter of person. He loves you just as much as He loves me. The Bible said God has no pleasure in death of the wicked. God says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And I'll tell you another thing, I'll tell you. With a nail hole in His hand, He's got His hand outstretched to you. And He said in John chapter 5, verse 40, He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. You see, the problem's not on the nail scarred hand. The problem's not on God's end. The problem is you will not come to Him. Whatever's keeping you from coming to Him, throw it aside, cast it away. Get to Jesus. If you get to Jesus, you get fixed, amen. You get to Jesus. You get saved, amen. You have an eternal home. You have a blessing of God. You have access to the throne of God.
That's right.
Bible said in Him is a new and living way that we can boldly come to the throne of grace and make our petition known. You got to get to Jesus. I don't know how many people in here saved. I don't know how many people in here that's in that space to repent. But I'll tell you this, Jesus said in Luke chapter number 12, except you repent, you'll perish. He said it twice. He said, Mark, now the sin you must be born again. John chapter 3, He said it twice. Anytime God says something twice, I mean you need to pay the most attention to it. There. Repent. Be born again. St. John chapter 1 verse 12, the Bible says, many received him, then gave him power to become the sons of God, even them that believe upon his name.
Amen.
Praise God, I believed upon his name. I got born in the family of God. Praise God, God's my father, now I'm his son. Because I believe.
That's right.
I believe it's Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3. Talked about that word in prophet Israel. Because it wasn't mixed with faith. They had the word, but didn't know no good. They didn't believe what they had. But old those that believe. They believe in not only the word of God, but they believe God on his word. They take God in his word and say, Lord, you said if I confess with my mouth my sin and believe in my heart to be saved, that you saved me. You said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You want to get saved today? I'll tell you how to do it. I can't pray for you, but I can pray with you. But here's what you do. You say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I'm praying right now for you to forgive me my sins. I know it sounds like a long prayer, so I'll simplify it. Lord, I'm a sinner. I want to be forgiven. I want to be saved. You're the one that I asked God to do it. God said, you have not because you ask not. He said, if many has come to him, he said, all that come to him, he no wise turn them away. You guarantee acceptance. He won't turn you away. He said, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come now, say, the Lord, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Won't it be red like crimson? I'll make them as wool. He's got the cure for sin. He's got the answer you need. He's got salvation. Jonah said, my salvation of the Lord. Amen. John chapter 2. I'll tell you why people don't get saved. They wait too long. There's someone chasing after you. It's death. And the devil. The devil, the Bible said in John 10:10, come to kill, steal, and destroy. He's killing someone right now. He's stealing someone's hope of heaven right now. He's destroying someone's marriage and home right now. The verse says, Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life, have it more abundantly.
Right now.
I'll tell you right now, God already knows what you're going through. You might hide it, Brother Eddie. You might hide it, Brother Tommy, Sister Debbie. Maybe Cora, but you won't hide it from God. He already knows your thoughts. He already knows your downset and your uprising. I'll tell you right now, he also knows what you need. And you get saved. I'll tell you right now, just call upon him. He's never too busy. Just say, Lord, I need to get saved. I want to get saved today. I want my name in the book of life and say another blood and get saved today. Father, we thank you for the privilege to stand for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for these, Lord, that have been, Lord, the hearing of the Word of God. And Lord, we certainly don't want to offend anyone, Lord. And we know this word's an offense. Well, Lord, we heard one lady, Lord, she was offended. We can't help that, Lord. Lord, we just got to deliver the message. We're just a messenger boy. And I pray for that lady, Lord. I pray, God, Lord, that she would somehow, be in better terms with you. I pray for her. Lord, we pray for all these that are before us. Lord, I don't know who's saved. I don't know who's not. I know, Lord, there's going to be a whole bunch one day going to stand before God. And they're going to be terribly disappointed when you say, depart from me, I never knew you. And I'm glad, Lord, you know them and yours. You know your sheep by name. You call your sheep by name. They know your voice and know they won't follow. But I pray, God, today for this service. Lord, if there's something needs to be done here, let it be done by the hand of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Tommy, you care to maybe sing one song, whatever Lord put on your heart there, brother. Just sing one song. God bless you, preacher.
God bless you.